Welcome back. This is Alfred Wallace with the Herald and Review for Tuesday, May 7th. June 7th, I apologize. June 7th, 2016. We begin with this segment with the obituaries. Imogene Brown, Decatur. Imogene F. Brown, 97, of Decatur, Illinois, passed away at 10:50 p.m. Saturday, June 4th, 2016, at McKinley Court Care Center. Memorial services will be at 11 a.m. Wednesday, June 8th, at First United Methodist Church in Decatur, with a memorial visitation 1 hour prior to services. Private family interment will be at a later date. Memorials may be given to First United Methodist Church, Britlinger and Earl Funeral Homes of Decatur are assisting the family. Selma Marie Peet, Decatur. Selma Marie Beard Knox Peet, 83, of Decatur, was called home on Thursday, June 2, 2016, at Decatur Memorial Hospital with her son, Reverend Kenneth Knox, at her side. Mother Peet, as she was affectionately called, will be served by homegoing services at 11 a.m. Friday, June 10th, 2016, at the Main Street Church of the Living God, with overseer James Wills officiating and Reverend Dr. C.D. Stewart, eulogist. Visitation will be held 1 hour before the service. Burial will be at Grayson Cemetery. Professional services have been entrusted to Walker Funeral Service, www.walkerfs.com. Charles Hedberg, Decatur. Charles Hedberg, 53, of Decatur, passed away on Sunday, June 5th, 2016, in Decatur Memorial Hospital. Honoring Charles's wishes, cremation will take place at Graceland Fairlawn Cremation Center, and there will be no public services. Family of Charles Hedberg is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home at 2091 North Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Send condolences to the family at GracelandFairlawn.com. Antonian Masio Madison, Sr. Anton Masio Madison, Sr., 46, of Seminole, Florida, formerly of Decatur, departed this life on May 20th, 2016, in Chicago, Illinois. Services will be at 11:30 a.m. Friday, June 10th, 2015, at New Publican Primitive Baptist Church, 1042 East North Street, with visitation from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Walker Funeral Service is in charge of the arrangements. Joel Hertz, Monticello. Joel R. Hertz, 79, of Monticello, went home to be with his Lord Saturday, May 28th, while visiting in California. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Friday, June 10th, and a memorial service at 11 a.m. on Saturday, June 11th. Both will be at the Monticello United Methodist Church, 212 South Independence Street in Monticello. Pastor Jeff Bielmeier will officiate. Burial will be in Nevada, Iowa, at a later date. John Winnings, Arthur. John Winnings, 76, of Cheyenne, Wyoming, died January 12, 2016. Cremation was accorded and a private graveside service will be held at the Arthur Cemetery, Arthur, Illinois, on June 13, 2016. Schrader Funeral Home, 431 South Vine Street in Arthur, is assisting the family with arrangements. Mark Dwayne Weddle, Bethany. Mark Dwayne Weddle, 62, of Bethany, Illinois, died Monday, May 30th, 2016, in his home. Mark was born in Decatur, Illinois, on January 9th, 1954, the son of Darrell Weddle and Evelyn Kidd. Funeral services will be 2 p.m. Tuesday, June 7th, 2016, at Mount Gilead Cemetery in Decatur, Illinois. In lieu of flowers, the family requests memorials be made at GoFundMe.com/2787WAS. Again, 2787 W8S. Please view the online obituary, send condolences, and share memories at www.tanzyuslogan.com. Now in more news, Charleston, suspects skip hearing. Two Arizona residents arrested in Mattoon earlier this year on suspicion of money laundering failed to appear at a scheduled court hearing on Monday. New arrest warrants were issued for Carmen Lorenda Nistor, 30, and Caitlin Nistor, 35, who were allowed to return to their home state after an agreed-to bond reduction in their cases about 3 weeks after their arrests. The bond agreement included a requirement that the two suspects sign extradition waivers. The waivers meant they wouldn't contest authorities' attempts to return them to Illinois to face the charges if they didn't appear voluntarily. The two Phoenix residents were arrested on April 8th after police said they found about 40 gift and debit cards and just more than $25,000 in cash in their van. The investigation revealed that the cards had been altered in a way consistent with money laundering and narcotic trafficking, according to records in their cases. In addition to charging the Nistors with money laundering offenses, the Coles County State's Attorney's Office has also filed a forfeiture case against them. In today's Decatur Money Briefs, new cereal offering. With the debut of Tiny Toast, General Mills is launching its first new cereal brand in 15 years. Tiny Toast, which will arrive on store shelves this month, features pieces of crunchy toast covered with tiny pieces of fruit. It's one of only a few offerings in the cereal category flavored with real fruit, according to General Mills, which unveiled the cereal Monday. Tiny Toast comes in two flavors, strawberry and blueberry. Cereal makers like General Mills often create line extensions of their classic brands. Witness the proliferation of Cheerios flavors. New cereals are less common, since they often entail a bigger investment and more risk than a line extension. Work began on Tiny Toast more than a year ago. The last new hit cereal brand that General Mills launched was Reese's Puffs, which is made under license with Hershey Corporation. Launched in 1994, Reese's Puffs is still going strong. China steel production. U.S. envoys pressed China on Monday to cut excess steel production that is flooding global markets and to reach diplomatic settlement to territorial disputes in the South China Sea as the two sides opened a high-level dialogue. The annual meeting of cabinet-level foreign affairs, trade, and other officials from both sides is meant to head off conflict. Officials acknowledged differences on an array of issues, but repeatedly stressed their interest in amicable cooperation and pledged to work together to see the Paris Agreement on curbing emissions of climate-changing gases ratified by the world's government. In local sports news, area players dot IBCA All-Star rosters. The Warrensburg-Latham boys basketball team may add one last accolade from its perfect 26-0 regular season. The Illinois Basketball Coaches Association, IBCA, awarded Cardinals coach Vic Binkley and his staff to lead the Class 1A and 2A South team against the North in its annual Boys All-Star Games this Saturday in Pontiac. Binkley's team will also feature Warrensburg senior Garrett Shea, who led the Cardinals in rebounds. Other area players include Arcola's Colin Seaman, Monticello's Zach Fisher, and Tutopolis's Brett Mett. In the Girls All-Star Games, Central A&M won a couple of spots in the 1A-2A South team. They include seniors Ryan Dooley and Mika Maples after taking state runner-up this past season. Other area players include Neoga's E.C. Thies, Tuscola's Hallie McCrory, and Flora's Crimson Jones. They will be coached by Fairfield's Tanya Conrad. Charleston's Morgan Sherwood, meanwhile, will star on the 3A-4A South team. And Eisenhower, Monticello will be the heaviest represented in the upcoming 26th annual Order of the Eastern Star, High School All-Star Football Game at 7 p.m. Saturday, June 25th at Maroa Forsyth High School. Monticello coach Colin Welter will lead the East, six of his former players, after the Sages earned their seventh straight playoff berth and finished the season 10-2. Representing the Sages include Jacob Burton, Noah Freeman, Keegan Kerr, Josh Strack, Tyus Welter, and Brandon Wildman. Shelbyville will have three players on the east side as well, with Garrett Brackbill, Caleb Clough, and Jordan Smith. Eisenhower coach Drew Wagers will take over the west with four of his former players after leading the Panthers to their first playoff berth since 2004. They include Salat Al-Nuruddin, Kendall Doherty, Makai Peoples, and Jordan Young. Central A&M will also feature four players under Wagers: Austin Black, Brock Bergner, Nash Jones, and Peyton Lees. Tickets are $5 and can be purchased at the gate. Proceeds will go to the Eastern Star Educational Assistance Fund, and scholarships will be awarded to the MVP on both teams. And in other stories today, family re-engineers house for multiple generations. Bloomington, Minnesota. When Joan and Reed Nelson built their house 22 years ago, it was a great fit for a young family with three active boys. The Nelsons installed a pool in their big backyard and a full kitchen on the walkout lower level, where they hosted their son's soccer team parties. "It served us well raising three kids," said Joan of their West Bloomington two-story. Over the years, the Nelson family changed. Joan's father died, and her widowed mother needed more day-to-day help. Their three sons were now young adults with independent lives. But the house didn't change with them. It lacked some of today's amenities that the couple craved, including a master suite and a more open layout on the main floor. "We wanted better entertaining space," said Joan. "We host big gatherings, and the kitchen was cramped." They considered building a new house from scratch and looked at several lots. But nothing was as appealing as the location they already had, with its pool, a big yard for their dog, and a nearby nature center with wooded views and lots of wildlife. "We were close to freeways, the airport, and work," Jones said. "If we moved, we'd be farther out." So they decided to reinvent their existence. The couple began brainstorming ways to reconfigure the spaces they had. Their two-story family room and foyer wasted a lot of space. If they lowered the vaulted ceilings, they could create second-floor space for a master suite with a new bath and a big closet. If they reworked the layout on the first floor, they could get a roomier, more workable kitchen and mudroom. And if they remodeled their lower-level family room and kitchen, they could create an inviting apartment for Joan's mother. To carry out the ambitious whole-house transformation, they turned to Amick Custom Builders of Bloomington. Many of their recent projects have involved converting traditional single-family houses to multi-generational homes, said owner Matt Schmidt. "Oh, for sure it's a trend," he said. "When the economy crashed, people started moving in together to avoid nursing homes." "The economy has improved, but the trend continues, in part," he said, "because the baby boomers are getting older." While most generational projects require adding space, the Nelsons just needed to make better use of the square footage they already had. "They happened to have this great space partially set up," Schmidt said, "of the lower level with its existing kitchen. Reworking the upstairs was a bit more complicated. To create the new master suite, Emick built a new master bath in what used to be one of the boys' bedrooms. It was challenging to get the plumbing into an area with no plumbing," Reed said. The couple's former bedroom is now a workout room. On the main floor, a small addition added 100 square feet, creating space for a bigger mudroom and a dog wash, complete with a floor drain for Billy, their large golden doodle. "It's a small area, but it makes a big difference," Schmidt said. "Before, Billy used to have to come in on wood floors, tracking in snow and mud," Jones said. Originally, the Nelsons wanted a modern look for their new and improved home. "We started out wanting really contemporary. Then we switched gears," said Joan, who did the interior design. I'd call it rustic contemporary. Rustic touches include ceiling beams in the family room made of Douglas fir from their lake place. Reed's home office, once separated from the family room by a wall, now opens into the room with barn-style vintage auditorium doors that they found at Architectural Antiques. If he's doing work in there, we can still feel together, Jones said. During the project, the Nelsons reused and repurposed what materials they could. A silestone countertop from upstairs now tops a bank of cabinets in Jones' mother's apartment. They also moved their washer and dryer downstairs to create her laundry room. Doors and flooring were reused as much as possible. Those that couldn't be repurposed were posted on Craigslist or even given away. The Nelsons had hoped to replace the maple floors on their main level with acacia wood, the flooring they chose for their new master bedroom. It's dog-proof, Jones said. But the budget wouldn't allow it, so instead they stained the existing maple dark ebony with a matte finish for an updated look. The basement apartment was remodeled first, then the Nelsons moved downstairs while the upper floors were being transformed, a process that took another 6 months. It was challenging, said Joan. At one point, she escaped the construction by retreating to the lake while Reed stayed behind, sleeping on a bed encircled by plastic sheeting. Now that the project is complete, the reworked house was worth the wait. The kitchen is so nice and functional, said Joan. We entertain every week, sometimes twice a week. When guests gather around the center island, there's still plenty of room to maneuver. We had 75 people here for a party for Reed's dad's 80th birthday, she said. Having Joan's mom under their roof gives her mother financial freedom and also makes it easier for the Nelsons to help her with day-to-day tasks. It's very comforting and convenient, said Joan. We don't have to hop in the car at 2 a.m. because her thermostat dropped and she's cold. We can go right downstairs and talk her through things. Jan helps them out too, making it a win-win. Now we have a built-in dog sitter, Reed noted. Jan is happy in her new apartment, where she has her own garage stall, her own patio, and plenty of light for doing her artwork. It's wonderful, she said. I've got Joan and Reed here, and it's close to anything I want. That includes her grandsons. The boys come home and they get to see Grandma, Joan said. Nelson's reworked home also accommodates their son's comings and goings. One son, recently married, moved briefly back into his parents' home with his new bride for a few weeks, as a stepping stone to a home of their own. Youngest son, Quinn, 24, has been living at home for several months while attending a computer programming boot camp. It certainly has its upsides, he said, of living with his family. No rent. On the downside, I do sacrifice some of my autonomy, but we have a great relationship, which makes things pretty easy. Multi-generational living is not without its challenges, Jones said. Mom has 24 access to us, which sometimes means interruptions to their routine when she needs tech support. But the benefits are worth it, said Reed. It's been a blessing in so many ways. Mary Hunt has some advice for how to get fiscally fit. We all know about getting physically fit. Participate in aerobic exercise, do some weight training, walk whenever you can. But how much do you know about getting fiscally fit? It's not difficult, but it does require a plan. Record your spending. Sounds like a silly instruction, especially if you feel overwhelmed and under-deposited. Nonetheless, if you begin keeping a written record of every expenditure, I can promise you a couple of things. First, you'll hesitate before making silly, impulsive purchases. And second, you'll start taking back control once you see where all your money goes. Give back. I know, you're broke. You have mountains of debt, and some idiot is suggesting you give money away. And that's right, except for the idiot part. Giving is a mysterious, miraculous activity that, when practiced regularly, will transform your life. Giving away part of what you have is the antidote for that wretched trend towards excess and self-indulgence. Pay yourself. Ideally, you should pay yourself 10% of what you earn. If you can't do 10%, start with something. Even if it's $1 a week, start saving. Even if you are heavily in debt, start saving. Saving money is a great attitude booster. If you're discouraged and down in the dumps, start saving money. Don't spend what you don't have. There are only two ways to spend what you don't have: steal or borrow. If too much of the latter has landed you in financial bondage, there is a way out. Stop debting. Just stop. Determine, from this moment on, you will not go one more dollar into debt. You may need to part with some credit cards and even shed a few tears, but you can stop. No one can force you any further into debt. Reduce expenses. If your income is less than your outgo, reduce the outgo. There is no better way to make money than to cut expenses. The results are immediate, and the proceeds are tax-free. Rapidly repay debt. If you continue paying your creditors according to their payment schedule, you may never get out of permadebt. Repaying principal and incurring no new debt are the keys to rapid debt reduction. See Rapid Debt Repayment Plan at debtproofliving.com. Sell assets. With careful consideration, selling assets to raise funds to get out of debt may be a wise choice. If you own things of value that aren't useful to you, or that could be replaced at a later date, selling them could ease your financial situation. Seek solvency. Solvency means being content with the money you have. It's that confident feeling of being prepared for any circumstance, of having joy and peace, of living beneath your means. If you are approaching the future determined to get rich quick so you can fix your situation, I have bad news for you. Unless you are destitute and below the poverty line, more money is not going to fix anything. Until you learn how to control and care for the money you already have, more money will only exacerbate the problem. Just as you have in the past, you will see more money as the down payment on what you feel entitled to have. So there you go, a foolproof financial fitness formula that you can take to the bank. Letter to Dr. Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, I have very bad eczema on both my feet. I have been to several skin doctors and my family doctor, but no one knows what the cause is. Doctors don't even look at the rash anymore. I find myself being prescribed a different cream each time, but none seems to help. At the moment, I'm using Cetaphil and clobetasol. Is the cause really unknown? Is it common in people my age? I'm 84. Are there any home treatments to relieve the itching and burning? Atopic dermatitis, also called eczema, is indeed very common, with up to a 14% rate of prevalence in adults up to age 89. Although much is known about eczema, including some of the genes responsible, it isn't easy to state the exact cause. Food allergies are important in some, and early exposure to allergens, including pets and farm animals, tends to decrease the likelihood of developing eczema. First-line treatment includes skin moisturizers and topical steroids, both of which you're using. Clobetasol is a powerful steroid. Although there are other prescription treatments, such as tacrolimus cream, you asked me about home remedies. Avoiding damage to the skin is very important. This includes being careful not to overbathe or bathe in too hot water, and avoiding dry environments and harsh chemicals, such as detergents or solvents on the skin. Emotional stress and anxiety are detrimental for eczema. While it's impossible to remove stress entirely, behavioral treatments to help deal with stress can be very helpful when dealing with eczema. People with eczema are more likely to have allergic skin responses, so I recommend using fragrance-free and dye-free products, such as soaps and laundry detergents, as much as possible. I would be cautious with your moisturizers and use thicker creams rather than lighter lotions. Cetaphil and other companies make products specifically for people with eczema. If itching is a significant problem, I would consider an antihistamine like Zyrtec, Claritin, or Allegra. Changing your diet can be helpful for some, but there is no specific diet proven to help people with eczema. Finally, there are a number of events going on these days. Among them are some exhibits at the Chevrolet Hall of Fame Museum in Decatur from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Decatur Airport Gallery showing the works of Jessica Disborough from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. The Decatur Public Library has things going on in Gallery 510 and 50 by 50, Recovering the Classics. Millikan Student Work in the Upstairs Gallery, Decatur and Public Library. Also have the artwork of Judy Kimmons. They're open from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. The Gallery 510 Arts Guild in Decatur from 11 to 5 p.m. showing Sharon Zimmerman watercolors and acrylic paintings. Macon County History Museum in Prairie Village in Decatur is open in the afternoons from 1 to 4 p.m. The Madden Arts Center in Decatur, open from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., is showing the paintings of Emma Morrison and the art experience of Cuba in the Ann Lloyd Gallery. Perkinson Arts Center, the Kirkland Arts Center at Millikan University in Decatur, is showing the works of Annette Russo, known as Catharsis. Rock Springs Nature Center in Decatur. In their North Gallery has the photography of Chris and Alan Perry and the photography of Katina Williams in the South Gallery. The Schaub Floral Display Center, Sportsman's Park in Decatur, is open from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Tarbell Arts Center in Eastern Illinois in Charleston is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and is currently having the Cultivating Creativity Consolidated Communications Traveling Children's Art Exhibit in the E-Gallery. There's blood pressure and blood sugar screening this afternoon from Shumway Kluth Senior Center. Thyroid screening this morning at Save More Pharmacy at Tuscola. Walk-ins are welcome, among much, much more. Once again, this is Alfred Wallace with the Herald Review from Decatur and surrounding areas for June 7th, 2016. Hope you all have a lovely afternoon, a lovely evening, and I hope to be reading again with you soon. Once again, have a good day.